Morning. What I want to discuss this morning is New Year's resolution. I want to just take a poll real quick. How many people make New Year's resolutions? Very few, actually. So that's actually along average. Very few people in the United States. It's like 30-something percent of the United States actually makes New Year's resolutions. And then out of that, I think 17% actually keep them for longer than 6 months. So it's very rare. So I want to talk about resolutions. And one, I think we should be a people of taking resolutions on itself. Now, New Year's, it's great to have that start. I did quite a bit of reading on resolutions. And it's so funny that they said that people get psyched over resolutions. They work themselves up over resolutions. They start naming what they're going to do, whether it's they're going to lose that extra 20 pounds or they're going to be nicer, they're not going to work as hard, and they're going to be at home more. And they start talking about it, and they start daydreaming about it, and how it feels, how they feel better about themselves when they get there. And they said that most people hype themselves up and is almost on a high just thinking about a resolution. Just thinking about it. And this is what, well, one, the church should always be thinking about who they are in Christ. Hello? If that does that for the natural world, when we meditate on the word of God, it brings substance into our life. When this is what happens, the world will make resolutions, and they are wishful thinking. They think wishfully about, and that's not a resolution. That's wishful thinking. A lot of people will say, I hope. They don't hope. Hope has substance. The world wishes things would get better. Have you ever heard, I hope things get better? and there's nothing in them that believes things are going to get better. That's not hope. That's a wish. You might as well wish on a meteor passing across the sky. Yeah. You got just as good a chance as it turning out as anything else if you're wishing. Mm-hmm. Hope has faith connected to it. And faith better have some substance. You can't have faith without some type of substance. And that substance is evidence, of things not seen. But we know the word of God is a substance that we stand on. I remember before I got into ministry, I had two major dreams in my life that really, really put my course on place and gave me the confidence to know this is what I was supposed to do and the life I was supposed to live. And I won't go into the first dream that just let me know. And I thank God meets us where we are, because I was part of a denomination that tried to tell me not to get into ministry. They encouraged me not to, maybe because they knew me, I don't know. Whatever it was. And they would use scripture that was not in context. Yeah, they would use scripture that was not in context. They would say, for many are called, but few are chosen. So, you better make sure you're chosen by God. And that would freak me out as a teenager growing up, thinking I wanted to be in ministry. I remember I begged the Lord to let me in ministry. I prayed all the time. I'm like, God, this is what I want to do with my life. This is what I want to do. And please, 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 please choose me. I know there's better people out there, but choose me. You just think, you said you choose the foolish things to confound the wise. Think of how many people will be confounded if you do. I came up with all kinds of things trying to convince the Lord that this is what it would be in his best interest to put me in, on the field, not sitting on the bench. And so this is what I wanted to do. And I remember there was one dream that I was on the edge of a cliff. And there was another cliff that I just went in my dream. I knew I had to get to. And I heard a loud voice that said, walk. And I remember looking over the cliff. Now, on the cliff, there were ropes that went from one side to the other, and it looked like a suspended bridge, like a bridge. Planks should be in between these ropes that are holding things up, but there was nothing. And I heard again, walk, take a step. And I looked down, and I couldn't see the bottom. And I stood there a little bit longer looking, how am I supposed to walk? There's nothing here. And I heard again in my dream, take the first step. And I thought, oh my goodness. So I remember I put my foot in dream up over and I stepped just leaning most my weight on the back leg in case nothing was there, in case if I begin to fall, I could catch myself. And when I stepped down, a plank popped up underneath my foot. And I just remember in the dream, I'm like, oh, oh, that's nice. And I'm holding the rope up here. And so I take another step and a plank pops up. And I take another step and a plank pops up. So before long, I'm starting to walk and I'm not walking like I was, you know, barely stepping. All of a sudden, I'm walking. And as fast as I'm walking, the planks are popping up. And then I remember all of a sudden, I thought, you know, I wonder what would happen if I ran. And so I took off running, and as fast as I could go, the planks popped up underneath my foot. When I made it to the other side, I heard out loud in my dream, I heard, you have a path and a destiny set before you. How fast you run is up to you, but I will always have something for you to stand upon. And so that is the Lord we serve, that no matter what it is, wherever it is, we may not see how we can make it to the other side. We may not even see you. All we might see is a crack to fall into, a cliff to fall off of. But God said, no matter what, we follow him. He will cause us to stand when others fall. When others fall, he says it won't come nigh unto us. We have to continue to push toward the mark, even if we fail. And you know what is interesting? You may fail 100 times, but get up. Don't stay where you are. Get up, because the Lord can use somebody who will get up. Amen. You know who the Lord can't use? Someone who won't get up. Amen. I would love to tell you that I've never failed personally or in ministry. I would love to tell you that. But one, it would be a lie. But it would make a great story, wouldn't it? But that's not the case. But you know what? Every time we have to dust ourselves up, we have to get up, and we have to move forward. We have to keep moving forward. And that is the key to being successful. You know, there's so many people, businessmen and women, who have changed the world as they've known it. There's several of them that had to file for bankruptcy, and they kept pushing forward. They never allowed their failures, or what seemed like their failures, to keep them down. I'm trying to remember, it was Edison who was asked, I forgot how many failures. Anybody remember how many times he failed making a light bulb? I like your, you know, your guessing there, but it was on the 10,000th time. That seems a little strange to me that it would be 10,000. I remember reading a number, though. And they asked him, what, you know, all this, how did you feel? How did you take it personally? He said, I never failed. I just found, you know, so many ways that it didn't work. And he kept pushing forward. And his creation of the light bulb, actually, and Alexander Graham Bell, who failed several times and finally got it right. What's interesting is his gifting brought him to the White House. When the first telephone was installed in the White House, he went there to show the president how to use it. Your gifts will cause you to come before great men. Your calling will call you to come before great men. And so I want to talk about resolutions, and I want to talk about not giving up. Now, there's several times, you know, how many of you have ever given up on a resolution? And I'm not talking about a New Year's resolution. I'm just saying a resolution, period. All right, I'm going to raise my hand because I am in that category. You know, I remember deciding that I was going to lose weight and, you know, get fit and blah, blah, blah. And, you know, Pecan Pies called me. And then, you know, Krispy Kreme moved into Madison. I mean, there were just so many things. And I would say that was the devil, but no, that was the Lord. When Krispy Kreme moves in your neighborhood, that is God. And so in all of this, I remember making a resolution. And I, if you're anything like me, and I don't know why I think people are, but I automatically think people are like me, I jump in 110%. And, you know, you work out and you get all excited, and then the next day you can't move. Have you had that? You can't move, and you try, and you know, natural knowledge says get up and push through, you know, work it out, and you'll feel better. And I will say this, you people who say after you work out, you feel good and you're on a high, you are either unbelievably liars or I have never experienced what you're talking about. I have never worked out that at the end of the workout, I said, oh, God, I feel great. You know what I want to do after every workout? I want to eat Doritos and hamburgers, and I want to go to sleep. And, you know, that whole feel the burn. If it felt good, it wouldn't be called burning. They wouldn't call it burning if it felt good. You know, if I ever made a workout video and you never have to worry about me doing it. But if I did, the whole time I'd be like, I hate this. I really hate this. So I don't think a whole lot of people would buy my video. I should make a Christian one. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, shake that fat till it's almost gone. Now work it. It's terrible, I know. But if I have found something out about me, you've got to judge yourself and you've got to come to know your own self. You got to know your own weakness and you got to know your own strengths. And then you can't fool yourself by your weaknesses or your strengths. You can't fool yourself. And there's too many people who have fooled themselves or like to walk in with their eyes closed because I don't know why. I think there's hundreds of thousands of reasons why people don't like to acknowledge their weaknesses or their strengths on certain things. But it interests me how many people have the same failures everywhere they go. There are some people that run from city to city to church to church, from state to state, and they're running from a problem, and it seems to pop up everywhere they are. You know what the common denominator is in that? Them! They are the common denominator. And I've had people cry to me, I don't know why this follows me everywhere I go. And I just want to say this, if you're in that position right now, I'm not mocking you. I understand that this is a hard thing to talk about, but I have family members, and nobody's popping up in my mind except for my own family, okay? And so there are family members that have faced the same things everywhere they go. I have talked to a family member probably 2 months ago, and I said, have you noticed everywhere they go this always happens? Yep. I'm like, what do they need to do to change to get out of this? This is ridiculous. There's habitual habits that some people have that create their circumstances. And if you want to have something you've never had before, you've got to do something you've never done. Yeah. And so maybe, just maybe, we need to change us. Yeah. I've heard everything from, they didn't pay me right. How did a business not pay you right? And how did five times not pay you right? Anyway, that's here and there. Now, let's talk about making resolutions this morning. We're going to talk about making resolutions. So I'm going to give you a definition, the definition of resolution. A resolution is a resolve or a determination. Now, both those things, a resolve or a determination, shows what? Action. If you have no action, it's not a resolution. It's wishful thinking. That's it. Because I would tell you, I had some wishful thinking. You want to know what my wishful thinking is right now? I would like to get in shape. That's wishful thinking. You want to know why? Because I ain't doing jack diddly crud to do anything about it. And I have no plans for the future at this time to do anything about it. That's wishful thinking. Well, what, is that a little too honest for y'all this morning? I would like to be fit, but I just don't want to do anything to do it. Now, a resolution or a resolve or a determination to make a firm resolution to do something. One of the other definitions was an act of resolving or determining up an action or a course of action, a method or a procedure. And the next definition of it was a mental state or equality of being resolved or resolute, a firmness of purpose. Again, every definition shows action. So this year, 2014, we're coming up. Isn't it kind of crazy to think we're coming up to 2014 already? Didn't it seem like we just started 2013? All that's going to do is constantly increase. And so we can't be busy just for busy's sake. We got to be busy with a purpose. Because if we're busy for busy's sake, we're just going to run around and next year is going to come upon us and we're going to look back and say, what has changed? And it may absolutely be nothing. But for us, we will be at a new place and a new level. Yes. That is the determination that we need to make. And I'm going to say, if you only make resolutions one time a year, chances are you're not going to be in a different place. All right. Y'all got quiet on me. And so when we make a resolution, we need to take inventory of our life. We need to look at our life. We need to see where we want to go. And we need to start making decisions and steps of how to get there. So, and this is going to seem very natural to you this morning. You're going to say, Pastor, preach a very natural message. Well, I'm going to mix scripture with it. I'm not going to give you nothing that I don't put scripture to. Now, but this is it. If we want to see a major change, yes, we need to believe God for change, but we need to start doing stuff ourselves. I think too many people wait for God to move, and God has already died on the cross for us, given us all power and authority to buck up and do something. I think so many Christians would just pray, Dear Lord, I'm waiting for you to move. And I think God is in heaven saying, Jesus, didn't you die 2,000 years ago? Yeah, it's your move. I think a lot of times God is waiting for us to step, waiting for us to make a step. And we don't see how, so we sit and pray. And we want to hear from God, and we better hear from God. But I'm going to tell you something. Let's get doing the work of the Lord. Let's get busy doing the work of the Lord, and God will show us. You know, if you're going to run a race, you don't sit there and pray for when the race is going to start. Dear Lord, all these people are running by me. Has the race started? Should I take the first step? I don't know. Do I have enough of water? Will there be someone there to provide water on my way? What if I get a Charlie horse? What's going to happen, Lord? How about, let's get on a race and do what God has called us to do and believe him that everything that needs to be there on the way will be there. And maybe you say, well, I don't have a vision of everything that I need to do. Well, let's believe God that the vision will come on the way. If you say, I have no vision, well, get involved in children's church. We have a vision here. Get involved in ministry. All right. Mm-hmm. Now, we need to have a vision set before us, and that vision doesn't need to be put there by Vogue or GQ or what's on television or, you know, Disney. Yeah. Disney has messed up so many young ladies. I'm not knocking Disney because Disney is on our house all the time. But, this whole Prince Charming thing and running in, and if life doesn't, line up to that, so many people are disappointed. We don't need to judge our life by televisions or movies or magazines, but we need to judge our life based on the Word of God. You need to look in a mirror to change things about yourself, but it shouldn't just be your mirror in the bathroom or in your bedroom. It needs to be the mirror of the Word of God. Because if you think you don't fit in because you're not a size 2, first of all, ladies, we can talk about your sizes. Whoever came up with your sizes are mental. You should be like men. It should be like your waist and your leg. I don't know how you ever find a pair of pants that actually fit. I don't get it. But, whatever it is, that's not where you get your self-determination from or where you get your self-worth from. Your self-worth comes from what God says about you, not what the world says about you. Now, I believe in being healthy. I absolutely believe you should be healthy. Because if you're overweight and, you're just grossly, not even just overweight, but just grossly malnourished, you're going to have problems in life. That's just a fact. And so we need to be healthy, spiritually and physically. I've said this before, and I've had someone, well, exercise, profits the body little. Yeah, but it profits. It does profit. And so we need to make healthy choices. We need to make good choices. We need to make sure that we're able to run our race and finish, that we don't go home early. I had the Lord speak to me one time and said, you are treating your body like it's immortal. And he said, many ministers have died and gone home before their time because they are mortal, living like they're immortal. And so I'm telling you, the body of Christ, we need to recognize we are mortal beings. And we need to treat our body in a right manner. We don't need to be addicted to drugs or alcohol. We need to be at a place where we're judging ourselves and we're not drowning our problems, but we're dealing with them. Because I'm going to tell you something. When that pill wears off, if you're trying to mask or you drink to mask your feelings, your emotions, and your problems, when you become sober and when you become in your right mind, those problems are still there. So you're either going to have to self-medicate for the rest of your life, or we're going to have to trust God to deal with some issues. Oh, I know I'm preaching good this morning. Now, let's look at a couple things. I want you to understand a couple things before you make some resolutions. One, you need to understand that you are called by God. Everyone in this place is called by God. Every sinner out there is called by God. Everyone that was drunk this weekend that couldn't even walk out of the bar is called by the Lord. They're called. You know that scripture I quoted earlier? For many are called, but few are chosen. Let's just put it this way. Everyone on the face of the earth is called by God to do something. Very few actually choose the path that he has laid before them. We've got to choose the way the Lord has created for us. I'm going to tell you something. Eminem called. I'm trying to think, why is he the only one coming to my mind at this moment? Miley Cyrus is called. Anybody else got a name? Go ahead, yell it out. I don't know. All these people are called. I heard a lot. Justin Bieber. I never say his name right. Bieber, whatever. He's called. He's called by the Lord. These people are called by the Lord. President Obama, called by the Lord. Our governor, called by the Lord. Your work co-workers, called by the Lord. Now, whether or not they decide to follow the path is up to them. I'm called by the Lord. You're called by the Lord. It is up to us to follow the path. But first, we need to recognize that we are called. Look at your neighbor and say, you're called. And then look at your neighbor again and say, yes, I know. Thank you. There you go. So we're all called by the Lord, and I'm not talking just to your neighbors, but I am talking to you. Now, 1 Corinthians, let's turn there quickly. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. When you get there, say amen. All right. In the King James, it says, for we are laborers together with God. Now, I want to put this in God's Word Translation. God's Word Translation says it this way. We are God's co-laborers. And then the Amplified puts it this way. We are fellow workmen, joint promoters, laborers together with and for God. I want you to say this after me. We are God's co-laborers. I work with and for God. We work for the Lord. Oh, I appreciate y'all repeating. I was done. But you work for God. That's who you ultimately work for. And some of you might say, no, I work for so-and-so. No, you work for the Lord. You work for God above all things. That is your ultimate calling, is to work for the Lord. And no matter where you are, you're a representative for the Lord. The Bible says we are ambassadors for Christ. No matter where we go, we're working for the Lord. Now I want to read this scripture. It says, then the word of the Lord came unto me. Before I was formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. And before thou comest forth out of the womb, I've sanctified thee and ordained thee a prophet unto the nations. Now, I want to say this. You were known in the belly before you were ever born. But before that, God even says, I knew you before the foundations of the world. God knew who you were before the world was created. Before the God ever created the world, the sun, the moon, the stars, the other planets, before he ever created any of that, God knew who you were and ordained you and sanctified you. The Message Bible, or the Message of Parallel Translation, puts it this way. Before I shaped you in the womb, I knew all about you. Before you saw the light of day, I had holy plans for you. God had holy plans. Plans for you, a prophet to the nations, that I might, that's what I had in mind for you. What you were called to do, God had that in mind for you before you were ever born. Now, the Amplified puts it this way. Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you and approved of you. Isn't it good to have God's approval? I'm going to tell you something. I thought that, you know, I knew I had God's approval, but it wasn't a reality to me. So I tried to fit in with other pastors. I thought I had to be like other pastors. You know what I found out about other pastors? Most of them are boring. And their jokes are horrible. If you think mine are bad, theirs are terrible. They bored me. And I tried to play golf because that's what pastors do. And I'm horrible at golf. I'm terrible. I don't know if I've ever made a good shot. So, you know, I just did not fit into the mold, and I tried so hard. And make a long story short, I honestly got depressed because I didn't feel like I fit where I belong. I didn't feel like I had what it take to stand in the office that I felt God called me to. Well, the thing is, I had to come to the realization God gave me his approval before I ever stood up as a pastor. Whether I felt like I fit in or not, honestly, I'm now very thankful that I didn't. And honestly, whether you like me or not, I love me in a well-balanced way. I like who I am. I have fun with just me. If I'm the only one around, I have a good time. I like me. I heard one minister put it this way. You better invest in yourself because you're going to spend the most time with you. And so you at least better be entertaining to yourself. And so you need to invest in yourself. God has put his approval upon you before you ever put your approval upon you. And some people say, well, I don't know. I don't feel like I fit in. I don't feel like I'm a part. Well, maybe you were called not to fit in. Maybe you were called to have a difference, to bring a different light onto the subject. And don't feel like you're out of place because you're different. I thank God for the difference of the body of Christ. I've said this several times. What most people hate about church, I love it. I love the diversity. I love that if you want a church with hymnals and robes, you can find them. We're not it. We're definitely not it. And if you want a boring church, they're everywhere. You can find them. The pastor will stand up and his voice will be the same tone all the way through. And half the people will be asleep. No, that's not true. But if that's where you're called to be, you're going to love it. They're out there. And then if you want a church that rocks and doesn't have hymnals but projects it on the screen and has great music and loves God and is exciting about the word and preaches the truth and loves it all. And now we're all preaching the truth as much as we know it. And if that's what you're looking for, it's out there. We're out there. I love the diversity. I've heard one person say, if we could just all get under the same roof and praise God, that would be kind of boring. That would be kind of boring. I like the way we are. We all have room for improvement. We need to constantly improve. But we need to, one, know that we are called by the Lord. And number two, are you ready? You need to know where your place is. We are called co-laborers with Christ. We all have a destiny. We are all called to do things. We're all called to be involved. There is no Christian called to be sitting on the sidelines. That's all you do. It's just be a participating and watching. That is not what any Christian is called to do. We're called to affect the area that we are planted in. We're called to bring our support. We're called to bring our supply to the body. I'm going to tell you something. When you're in church, you have a supply to give. And I'm not talking about finances. That's a great part. Don't stop giving because Pastor said, you know, I'm not called to give. Yes, you are. But what I'm saying is you can make a service great. You can make a service great because I have been in services. Now, I have my part to play, too, whether or not I study or get myself prepared. I recognize that, but we're working together. It is hard to preach when nobody is pulling on the gift. It is hard to preach when nobody came to hear anything. They came because it's out of their Christian obligation to show up at church to make Jesus happy. You know, baby Jesus will cry if you don't go to church. So you didn't want to make baby Jesus cry, so you came to church this morning. And if that's the only reason you're here, and in your mind you're making out your grocery list or you're cleaning your fingernails or whatever it is you're doing, if that's the only reason you're here, you make it very hard to preach. When you're getting something from the Lord and believing God from a word from the Lord, there is something that happens when we are co-laboring together, preaching together. You may not feel like you're preaching, but you're drawing on the gift. Because there are times I say things I have never planned to say. There are times that things come out of me that I am not smart enough to say. Oh, good. There are times that I get the DVD, or not the DVD. We're spiritually speaking here. I got to get the DVD. We got to get some cameras before we get DVDs. But get the CD or get the MP3 and listen to it because there was something I said that I'm like, I got to write that down because I want to say that again in the future. So I know it wasn't me. I wasn't smart enough to write it down in the first place. It's because the body is pulling on the gift and God is supplying the need that they're putting a demand on. And so you have your ability when you show up to make a service great. You need to show up and be like, I'm going to make this service an amazing service. I'm going to get what God has for me. So and so, they can ignore the Lord all they want. But I am here to get everything that God has for me. And when you come with that mentality, you prepared before you came in, service gets an amazing better. It gets better because you brought your supply to the body. You have a spiritual gift, and when you come in, you bring that supply. That's why it's important that you be here. Forsake not the assemblies of yourself together, especially in the latter day. We have never been more latter than we are right now. So God is saying, at this time, it's more important that you show up together than ever before in the history of the world. It is more important that the body of Christ comes to church together than ever in the history of mankind. That's good. That's something. Now, we need to know our place. 1 Corinthians 12, when you get there, say amen. I'm ending. pretty soon here. I'm just preparing you, getting you ready. I at least have to shut this thing down 3 times. We are called to expand the kingdom. That's everybody. You may say, I don't know what my calling is. To expand the kingdom. To expand the kingdom. Everyone's called to do that. You're called to help the gospel reach the world. Well, how do we do this? One, we invite our friends to church. Two, we actually live it. Crazy talk. Be like, craziness. We actually live the word in front of people. We don't freak out. We prepare properly. We listen to the voice of God. When the world, you know, screams and hollers, we have an answer. I know. Crazy stuff I'm talking this morning. Now, 1 Corinthians 12 and 12 says, For as the body is one and hath many members, and all the members that all the members of that one body being many are one body, also is Christ. For by the Spirit we are all baptized into one body, whether it be Jew or Gentile. In other words, whether it doesn't matter what nationality you are, whether you're black, white, whether you're tan or in between. It doesn't matter where you are. Purple, yellow, I don't know all the colors of the, yeah. If you're blue, Smurf, I don't care what you are. You have a place in the body of Christ. And it says we are all one. Whether you are free or whether you're bond or whether you're free. Whether you have seen, and let's put it this way. Whether you're not in debt or whether you're in a lot of debt. Whether you are super rich or whether you see yourself as super poor. No matter where you are in the body, we're all one. Have been all made to drink into one Spirit. For the body is not one member, but many. Oh, so we can't get in the mentality that we run everything. Oh, that we're so great. Look at our gifts. We're God's gift to mankind. No, the Bible says it's all of us working together. Now, verse 15, are you there? If the foot shall say, because I am not the hand, I am not of the body. Is it therefore not the body? No, absolutely not. You may look at yourself and say, I just work in the children's church. Children's church is a big deal. The majority of Christians get saved before they're 18. And 80-something percent of those who get saved before they're 18, they get saved before they're 16. It is a big deal to be a part of the children's church. Well, I'm only set up and tear down. I don't even think I need to go into explaining that. We wouldn't even have church right now if you weren't a part of set up and tear down. No matter what part of the body you are, you can't say that this is not important. For me to stand up here and preach this morning, there was a lot that had to happen. A lot that had to happen. People had to pay their tithe and offering because we wouldn't even be able to pay the bill to get in. And I don't think the theater would allow us in here much longer if we didn't keep giving them checks every month. Call me crazy, but I don't think they would let us in. Oh, you're good for it. Sure. Come on. No, that's not the way it works. If we didn't have set up a teardown, there would be no stage. There would be no mics. If we didn't have children's church, children would be running in here like crazy, distracting you. There is a lot of work that went on this morning to make it. But there was a whole lot of work that was done last week and the week before to make sure this service is running. We all have our part. And there's not one part that we could say, well, mine's not that important. Oh, yes, it is. We are all the body. And without you, we would not be who we are. Now, this is the last point I'm making this morning, and I'm ending. You need to know the manner of God you serve. You need to know the Lord. We've said this before, and we'll say it again. My people perish for a lack of what?
Knowledge.
That word knowledge, when you look it up in the original language, is the word truth. And that word truth can actually be translated God. My people perish for the lack of knowing God. I think that's the majority of the problems in the body of Christ, is a lack of knowing God. You want to know why we have so much gossip? There's hundreds of reasons, but I believe one of them is that we're not secure in our own self. I believe that's one of the reasons we're not secure in our own self. That we got to show why we're better than everybody else to put ourselves in a place. We got to make things happen on our own. And as long as we do that, we're not fully relying on God. I think if you truly knew God, I think a lot of worry would be cut out. For love, perfect love, cast out all fear. And so when we really know God and how God has us and how God loves us, there goes a lot of fear. And I think a lot of decisions being made that causes problems in the body of Christ is formed out of fear. Let's just bring it down right into where we are right now. Where do we meet? We meet in a theater. And, you know, we on average now these last two Sundays, our numbers have been down due to weather, icy roads. And then last time was snow, big snowstorm hit. How'd y'all enjoy that snowstorm? I loved it. I thought it was great. It was fun driving to church Sunday morning. It was fun driving to church Sunday morning on Beltline when you couldn't see any lanes. But this is my point. You know, we had members of this church. We were growing in the beginning when we first moved in here. We were about 70-something people at that time. Thank God now we're larger than that, and I believe next year we'll be larger than that. But in this, I remember there was somebody who came to me and said, you know, we got to buy a building. We got to get a building. Well, I mean, I want to buy a building. Yeah, absolutely. I want an awesome building. And they're like, well, if you don't get it, I'm leaving. And if I leave, I'm taking half the church with me. Well, my answer was, if you could take half the church, they're not my people to begin with. So don't let the door hit you where the good Lord split you. So in all of this, they left. And they took, like they promised, 30-something people with them. For a church of 70, that's very noticeable. So thank all of you that stuck with me for when we went down to 30. I remember the first time walking in and the look of just, what happened? Where is everybody? And I know some of you thought about, well, are we supposed to go? Is the church going to survive? I know these thoughts. Don't get upset about the thoughts. I had all of them. I had all of them. And so in this, the reason I bring this up is because I think it was fear motivated. If we don't get a building, people aren't going to stay. Look at this place. People aren't going to stay with us. We've got to do what's right for the church. And they were fear motivated. But now they didn't, I don't believe these are good people. They didn't try to destroy the church. They wasn't mean and hateful. They didn't, it wasn't out being spiteful. I think they thought they were doing what was in the best interest of the church, even though they were wrong. They were wrong. Now, in all of this, but I do think it was fear motivated. If we don't get a building, we're not going to be stable. We're not going to grow. We're not going to do this. And so I just refuse to make decisions that are fear motivated. I trust that. I'll tell you this. I used to come up with every reason. We had a building before. I came up with reasons why we weren't growing. Well, the building's ugly. We're in a bad location. Lighting, this, that. And when we moved to another building, I made up all the excuses why we weren't growing. And then when we came here, I made up excuses why we weren't growing. And in my prayer time, I heard this. Are you ready for this? When are you going to quit making excuses? I'm like, excuse me, what? When are you going to quit making excuses? And I heard this. If you can't grow there, you'll never grow anywhere. And I thought, well, that's an interesting thought. If I can't grow here, I can't grow anywhere. So you know what I made my mind up? It's either put all your chips on the table, lay your cards down, and let's go. Or it's time to give up and quit. And so I decided, let's go all in. Let's lay the cards down. Let's trust the Lord. So I understand the fear. Well, no, there is no fear. There is no fear. If we can't grow here, we can't grow anywhere. So let's be determined. We're going to grow right here. We're going to make every circumstance we're facing awesome. We're going to face it with a good attitude. We're going to face it well. And we're going to do everything we're supposed to do until we get. I think maybe this has something to do with it. Maybe God has to prepare our hearts to go and take the land. Just a thought. You know, the children of Israel, a lot of them had to die. Let's be determined we don't have to die before the church can do what it's called to do. Let's do it now. Let's do it in 2014. Let's do it then. And we serve a God that's big enough to make us grow right where we are. And don't get down and out and be like, well, gosh, now pastors say we're never going to get a building. No, let's just do what we're supposed to do and hurry up so we can. And see, we need to take this determination in every area of our life. Maybe your home life sucks. Let's make a determination to change our home life and to do everything. You know, it's so easy to tell and make up excuses why we're not where we are. Wives, it's so easy to blame the husband and say everything that he's doing wrong. And husbands, it's so easy to blame the wife and say, well, if she did this, then it would be, you know, we could do. How about this? Let's focus on us. Let's make a resolution to change us. Because literally, that's all we can change. That's all we can change is us. So let's be the best us we can be. Let's get in the wheel and just make a determination. Whether anything changes, I'm going to be faithful and I'm going to do what God has called me to do. Hello? I had to come to that realization in my life on more than one thing, but for the church. I'm like, Lord, if we never change, nothing ever changes. I know it will. But if nothing ever changed, I'm going to be faithful. I'm going to stand in my place. And I'm going to do everything I'm called to do. Whether I have people helping me or whether everybody leaves, we'll do what you called me to do. So let's have that determination in our life. Let's make resolutions, but not just on New Year's. Let's make them throughout our life. I think we should judge our life and say, is this where we want to be? And if not, we need to make small steps. You know, when I was telling you about working out and getting burned out, that's what happens to too many of us. We jump in 110% and we burn out. Now, I know me. I like me and I know me. For me, I have to take small steps. I'm not going to, you know, work out for an hour the first time. And that will come. I will start. Don't, you can pray for me, please. I'm going to need all the prayer I can get. But you don't have to jump in 110%. Because most people that do actually burn out. It's just human nature. Human nature. So what we have to do is see where we want to go and make plans. What is one step I can take to start doing that? If it is, let's just say it's losing weight or wanting to get fit so that you can run your race, you can live the life that God has called you to live, and you can live as long as God has called you to live. Well, if that's the case, then start walking for 5 minutes a day. Or every other day. How's that? Every other day, 5 minutes. And then actually stop. Stop at 5 minutes. And then, you know, quit. You say, well, I could do a lot more. Yeah, you could. But we've got to start making habits in our life. It's more about making a habitual habit because it's our habitual habits that got us where we are. We've got to change those habits. We've got to change them. And the stats are those who start off small will eventually be right where they want to be. And so it's not about running as fast as we can. And we want to run as fast as we can. But we've got to have the foundation to run upon. We've got to have the faith. We've got to have us where we need to be. And so that's what I want you to look at for the new year. If you're going to make a resolution, you need to start making small steps toward that goal. The Bible tells us it is the little foxes that spoil the vine. If it's the little things that destroy it, it's the little things that keep it whole. It's the little steps that you're going to make that's going to take your life where you want it to go. It's the little steps that we don't keep in check that will destroy us. It's the little steps that we take that will get us there. In a year's time, and it may, I know it's frustrating sometimes taking small steps. Trust me, as a pastor, it's frustrating to see the small steps. But I look from a year ago, and I'm happy where we are. I'm happy, satisfied, because I know it's not where we're going to stay. But my God, it's not where we were. I remember when I got the report not too long ago, we had 105 and it was a low. That was our low. And I remember I had to tell Jesse when we got home, I laughed. And I said, you know, we had a low of 105 today. And she said, oh, no, I noticed. It looked a little slim. And I said, you know what's interesting? I remember when we looked at 105 and thought, oh, dear God, that was impossible to reach. That was impossible to reach. So small steps that will change us. And change us forever. Amen. Let's go before the Lord in prayer. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you.